know, it's funny, when I do my blog, a lot of that is about things that I really like or people I really liked or things that have influenced me. And in a funny way, it's kind of the same with the goodies. And also, I quite like, as I'm getting older, quite like being big enough to not go, oh no, the Pythons were best, good old Pythons, to go, well, actually, I prefer the goodies, to be honest. Obviously, it changes a bit as you get older and you appreciate different things, but I think they get a bit unfairly overlooked. And I thought, well, it'd be a shame not to. I wanted to say something about them, and I did really like them, and he was the funniest one. So I did ask to keep that in, and I just thought I'd double check whether that was all right with you, because I vaguely remembered you saying, as we've not started yet, I think you said, and then said something. So
I did. Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, that's right.
No, pleasure.
And then Parv texted me, and then I realised that you wanted to do something which I wouldn't normally have thought was appropriate, but under those circumstances, with you being you and you also being a fan of the goodies, I thought it was a nice thing, and therefore I wanted to do it properly and explain that he was genuinely very funny and an inspiration to me as well. So here we are.
It sort of must be weird for you. I remember first becoming aware of it. I think you used to know Rich when I knew Rich quite early when you first came down to London. So obviously,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In my mind, you straight away were Tim's nephew. Do you know what I mean? And it's that's a good thing, but that's how you were instantly cast to me. So if someone had said, oh, Danny Brooke Taylor's moved to that, I think, oh, Tim's nephew's moved. Not in a good or bad way. That's just because that was such a link. And I suppose, you know, I suppose a lot of people avoid mentioning it. It's a slight elephant in the room. And then particularly, I guess, when we were talking, we were going to talk the week after. And then you think, oh, is it appropriate or whatever? But it feels like a weird thing to avoid. And I'm sure people probably avoid it because they don't know whether, you know. But
yeah,
I wanted to not avoid it and just at least.
No, it's brilliant. And I'm very grateful, Dave. It's really lovely. It's funny you should say about you knew that Rich's mate, Danny from Manchester, was moving down to London. And you just thought, oh, yeah, Tim's nephew. Because that was all my primary school experience as well. Yeah. I mean, you would go into a playground and you'd just hear goodies from the older kids.
When they'd see you, or just they would be saying that anyway?
No, they'd say it because it was me, because my surname was the same name as the bloke on telly.
Yeah, an unusual name as well. It's not, in fact, I can't think of another one off the top of
my head. So no, I'm sort of used to that, and it has never, and in all honesty, it has never been anything other than great pride, really, to be associated with that. It was a cool, funny thing at the time. I still feel like that.
How old would you have been, Danny, when it was on TV? I think it was on, what would it be, like 71 to 80 or something, I guess?
Yeah, so in junior school, in the late 70s, aged 6, 7, they were not just on telly, and good old days of only 3 channels or whatever. Everyone had watched it, everyone knew what had happened the night before, whether it be Black Pudding Bertha or whatever, but they'd also then permeated culture in a way that they'd be on Top of the Pops on Thursday night as well, with Funky Gibbon and things. So they were sort of everywhere. It was really unusual, and it's quite hard to explain to my kids now what it was like when I was their age and Uncle Tim was on telly. It was really huge, and I was very, you can't be sort of show-offy about that because it's only a reflected thing, but I was quietly proud of it.
So did you ever have to get an autograph for one of the kids from your uncle?
Not just kids, teachers as well.
Oh, really? Brilliant.
Yeah. Teachers were huge fans. And then sort of throughout my life as well, as I got older, people would then be fans of, I'm sorry, I haven't a clue as well. Either the sort of older generation or I think kids and certainly people younger than me now had sort of grown up listening to that in the car and the radio or their dad's tape collection or whatever. But it's all of this was a very lovely outpouring when Tim passed away. We could see as a family how many people had been really enjoyed his work through the decades.
Well, weirdly, I can't remember whether I mentioned this last time. The first album I bought was a Goodies album. And I went into the shop wanting a Wings album, which I couldn't afford. I think it might have been Wings Over America, which was really dear. And I really wanted that, and I couldn't afford that. So this was my first album. So I ended up getting, which I've still got, a Goodies album. Not one I play much, of course.
That must have been a sliding doors moment, which I think was ultimately a good thing for you, Dave.
It may have ended up okay, but yeah, I think it was Wings Over America, I think, was what I wanted. But I came out with a Goodies album, which isn't as, doesn't reward on... on extra plays as much as I'd hope. I might have got more use out of the Wings album, but yeah, there's a few cheeky songs on it.
Yeah, there was. We had that as well, except it was very scratched. So we had almost like a remix version because it was Funky Gibbon had been scratched so many times by us sort of bouncing around and shifting the stylus across the vinyl.
So the thing that occurs to me is obviously most of the work that I associate you with, particularly Lucky Generals, is funny. And I don't know whether that's I assume now that's probably not a coincidence.
Over the last few weeks, I have been thinking about that since we lost Tim. And I grew up with Tim and my dad very close, and as a result, as a family, we were very close. Lots of holidays and weekends and Christmases and things. And they were always, although smart, they were also silly as well. They would get the giggles all the time. You know, the more serious the scenario, the more likelihood that they're going to sort of their shoulders would start going, and then there'll be this sort of noise and this was suppressed giggles when Granny had said something or whatever. And there was a mischief and a naughtiness, which I think you see in the goodies, and you certainly also heard on I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue. And we grew up with that around us, and I do gravitate towards that. I think funny often gets written off as flippant. It's sort of seen to not have value, and I think it's quite the opposite. All my friends make me laugh. My wife makes me laugh. I think humour is a very powerful and beautiful thing that you can share. It's a real binding thing. If you're laughing with someone, then you've got a thing in common very immediately. And I think it's very powerful and brilliant in life. And maybe we do gravitate towards it in our work because...
Must have influenced you in some way. When things like that happen, I'll read loads of stuff on it. And the thing when I was reading a few weeks ago, which I'd sort of forgotten, and it could have been an influence on you, is that they used to do tons of ad spoofs in their program.
Yeah, they did.
And I'd forgotten all those. And I used to love those. The beat, you know, he would, in fact, particularly Tim, would be the Beans Means Heinz kid.
Yeah.
Covering bit. And they would do tons of ad spoofs. I'm trying to think whether there would have been ad spoofs before. I mean, perhaps there were. I didn't know. But that was a big part of their show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I'm not sure how well it does stand the test of time now. I haven't seen it for years and years. But it was a very sort of collage-y structure to the shows. They'd have a narrative that runs through it. But you're right. It was punctuated with various cultural piss takes at the time, whether it be David Bellamy or Rolf Harris, they'll be taking a piss out of them. And then, as you say, they'll drop in a commercial break as well, or reference a song from the charts or whatever at the time. So it was, it was a good little sort of like a time capsule as well. If you watch it now,
I wonder whether that's is why it's not played as much today as something like Python. Is that it was very much. It was almost topical, wasn't it?
That's exactly right. And they'd clash those things, wouldn't they? So you'd take the latest film, but drop it. You'd collide that with some political comment on Edward Heath, and then you'd drop in a song from Evita or whatever was culturally important at the time. So I think you're right. It might feel of a different world because I guess it was.
Also force my kids to watch all the things I think are good and listen to the things I'm good and drive them mad. So when they were... I'm trying to think how old the boys would have been, maybe 11 or 12. We got a couple of goodies box. And it's obviously, if you've got kids, it's a high risk strategy trying to get them to watch anything. Weirdly, they like that. And they really like that. And that was a sort of little thing that they, and it's a real, and it's difficult to sort of exactly know why, because obviously, you know, they're now 24 or something.
Yeah.
But if you're watching, you know, CGI and all things at that point, some of the things like the goodies when they're, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk or whatever, the CGI props, don't hold up very well, but whatever it was, they really liked, I guess, the silliness of it.
You're right, it was all a bit low budget BBC, wasn't it? But I think perhaps the visual gags were strong enough.
The vibe of it, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I remember when I just joined TBWA in London, and my office window, I could see the telecom tower, which obviously famously was knocked over by a kitten in the goodies. And I remember Paul Silverman coming in and pointing out the window and said, "You're not worried about that hitting the office, mate?" And no. So it was nice. It's always lovely when things like that bubble up in conversation. As I said, I was very proud of Tim and the goodies and sharing the surname.
So also one last thing, Danny, which is weirdly, I might be one of only seven or eight people who saw this, but after that, he had a series about, he was an ad man.
You and me and six others then, isn't it?
There's not many of us who've watched it. And I can remember what the agency was called.
I can't remember.
Eyecatchers.
Eyecatchers, exactly.
You missed a trick. You could have called your place Eyecatchers, Danny, as a tribute.
for a little in joke just for you, me,
yeah,
and
just for me. There's me and several people who would have thought it was funny.
I can even see the logo, can't you?
I can't see the logo, but I've always remembered it was called Eye Catchers.
That's
I thought, God, that's so clever, because that's what they're supposed to do advertising.
Exactly. It was with Richard O'Sullivan, wasn't it?
Was he in it? I can't remember that. I just remember.
I don't know whether Tim was the creative director or whether he was a sort of hapless account man suit who was sort of have to have a look.
Anyway, that's one for people to track down on YouTube if they're like. Yeah. Oh, so done my album. I've mentioned Eye Catchers. I don't know what else I've got in me.
Yeah. I'm glad I just remembered that Sylvan thing. That was so true.
Yeah, that's funny. That's typical Paul.
Yeah.
Did he not reference? Did he leave it for you to put to?
I completely.
Completely. No, it's total Paul. Yeah.
It's perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Classic Paul.
Classic just Paul in joke. Yeah.
Leave the little gaps for you to get the pleasure of filling them in.
Exactly. Yeah. Bless him.
Yeah. Exactly. Bless him. Very much so.
Thanks, Danny. Cheers. Good to speak to you.
Cheers, lads. Thanks ever so much. Take care, boys. Bye.